Like, luck is a real thing. Like, for things that, for you to make a sale, a lot of things have to go right. Like, because there's bad circumstances everywhere. Like, your mom could have just died, something like that. So I always just tell them that, like, luck is a real thing and there's a science behind it. So I would say the more effort you put in to life and then the more you go out there and try, the luckier you're going to get.
Welcome to Tradesformation Unlocked, the show that helps tradies level up in business and in life. Today, we're joined by a serious sales powerhouse, Phil Falaschi, sales supervisor at Lee's Air in California. Phil started in the trades 2 decades ago, worked his way from the sheet metal shop to the top of the sales leaderboard. Last year, he closed almost $20 million in revenue. Now he's leading and training his teams to do the same. We're diving into what it really takes to sell at that level. Mindset, objections, high ticket jobs, it's all here. Let's get into it.
Well, Phil Falaschi, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Mate, I'm fantastic. It was an amazing, even though it was brief, it was amazing to meet you back at Pantheon last year. I think back then you were receiving an award for being the highest sales technician in the country. I think it was 15 million the year before last. And I believe you're up to I'm pacing for 19, 20 million. Is that correct, Phil?
Last year I did, I want to say like 19.7 million, I think, last year.
Amazing. I'm sealed.
I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it's somewhere around there.
We're happy at those numbers. We're happy to round up, brother.
Okay, 20 million then. There you go.
There we go. Look, let's address this point, because like the majority of my clients, we have clients in other countries, New Zealand just recently, which is fantastic, but the majority of my clients and my audience are in Australia. So for us, something like that, it just seems unrealistic because the number is so huge. Like a really good salesperson in Australia, like a top performer, would be above $300,000 a year. And even that, for some Australian listeners, would think that's unbelievable, okay? So tell me more about, like, how does someone get to that $19 million mark? I know we got a lot of stuff to jump into. Like, how do you, started off obviously in the sheet metal, your section of the actual business. You were on the tools for quite a long time. And then when did you really start? Like, how long has your career been so far is the first question I'll start with.
So I'm now 20 years and a couple of months right now.
20 years. Wow. Okay, cool. So the early days, you're on the tools. Tell us all about that.
All right. So before I got an air conditioner, I was 21. Well, I got an air conditioner. I'm 41 now. So my brother worked at Sierra Air Conditioning in Las Vegas, and he worked in the sheet metal shop. So I wasn't really into like labor or anything. So out of high school, I did sales actually. So I worked at a gym. I did sales there. I worked at a food company that sells. And, you know, I'm kind of young. People don't take you very seriously when you're 19 and 20. So I kind of just like got into air conditioning, the sheet metal. It was almost like I kind of felt like I was giving up because I went to making $8 an hour, you know? So I just started doing that. I kind of enjoyed it. And then they gave me an opportunity to be like a technician and train for that. And it just kind of started from there. Sheet metal, 6 months, starting up air conditioners for a year and a half, warranty work, tune-ups, the whole nine, from the lowest to the top.
Lovely. Look, there's a couple of things in there I want to expand upon. So firstly, life will teach you lots of lessons when you get paid $8 an hour of, I need to learn new skills. You want to talk to that point for a little bit?
I don't really think at that point it was really about the money. I don't think so, because I mean, I was kind of young. I lived with my mom. So when I had an opportunity to like have a real career, which was being an air conditioning tech, I actually got really excited. So like, My first 2 years of doing air conditioning was probably the most exciting in my career, actually. You know, making 10, 11, 12 bucks an hour, that was really nothing, but it was just like learning everything and taking so much pride in everything I did. So it was just a really good time in my career.
Phil, you bring up a great point. I work with tradies across Australia, and a lot of young guys, apprentices even, towards the end of the back end of their apprenticeship. Most apprenticeships in Australia last 3 to 4 years, and they want to start to be sales guys because that's kind of where they feel the glory is. However, I say this time and time again, and I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you can't fix it, if you can't diagnose it, you cannot sell it. So it's absolutely my opinion. Again, we're talking about opinions before we started the podcast. My opinion is if you can't be good at your technical aspects of your job first, there's no point even dreaming about being a salesperson. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's more than an opinion. That's a fact. So when I came over to Lee's, we pretty much got rid of all the sales guys, and I slowly built the team and the the structure here. So all my guys who get people involved with air conditioners are supervisors. They have a team that they lead, and they've all been doing air conditioning for a minimum of 5 years, and that's doing installs, repairs. So they're not allowed to talk about air conditioners or get people involved with air conditioners unless they really know what they're talking about.
Absolutely. I love that, mate, because it is so, and I'm sure you get the same things in the States as we do in Australia. When we get a conflict between somebody selling something that's either not the right fit for the customer or uninstallable, all those aspects, I think that really leads to your point there, that like they're going to be on the tools at least for 5 years before they can start to segue into sales.
When they're giving like options and stuff, like they're not the right options. Sometimes. So it comes off as they're lying, you know. Sometimes a homeowner's like, well, he lied to me, he told me this, when actually they were just ignorant on the matter. So that's why we just try to avoid that altogether.
Love it. Love it. Another thing you said in that opening dialogue there, I've got a good friend of mine. His name's Andrew Handoza, who does sales. It's pretty much exactly what I do, but for the gyms sector. And it's quite interesting how many parallels. I mean, sales is sales. But tell us a little bit about your gym sales career before we jump into more about the HVAC stuff.
So yeah, I just got into working out like in my senior year, and it just kind of like owned my life for a long time. So I just wanted to work at the gym. I was like, oh, I like working out. And the opening there was sales. So, and it turned out that's what made the most money. So that was kind of cool. And it seemed like almost impossible to sell things. Like, you know, there were $1,000 memberships at the time. Which was a lot back then. So I didn't really take it seriously. And then I just, I had to work six 12-hour days. Like that was your six days a week, 12 hours a day. So I just got used to working hard. And then like, it just kind of, things started falling into place. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm actually really good at getting people, you know, gym memberships. And so that's kind of where it all started. And that's where a lot of my work ethic came from, I believe. So
nice. Look, it's funny. We talked about this off air, and I think it's probably a good time to segue to it. There's no substitute for hard work. You want to talk to that point? I know obviously you're definitely the best salesman in the States. And I think one of your keys to success is the fact that you work bloody hard.
Yeah. I think that, there's always that old saying where, you know, you got to work smart and not hard. That's just not real, right? You have to do both. So I'm a big believer in, someone who they can outwork talent, right? So I always use this analogy with my guys. I'm like, hey, who's the best home run hitter? I don't know how much baseball you guys watch out there. I'm not a big fan of it, but I know a lot about it. But I was just like, you know, who's the best home run hitter? And they would say names. But it was actually this guy, Mark McGwire. But he just missed a lot of games. But the guy could have broke every record. So I kind of use that as an analogy. I'm like, this guy's he's not going to be considered the best because he just didn't show up every day. So that's kind of my philosophy, just showing up every day. So is there someone better than me? Probably. I'm sure there is, but we probably won't know for a long time because they're not going to outwork.
That's amazing. I love that. It comes back to, again, we know a little bit about, we just follow American basketball. Kobe and also to Michael Jordan, like they were the hardest workers, and that's what led them to be the GOATs. You know, like it just, success leaves clues. It is simple, guys. If you want to just quickly talk to the audience, if you want to become better at sales or your business, put in the time, you got to sacrifice, you got to give up certain things. What kind of things have you given up, Phil, in order to be successful?
Not that I'm so proud of it, but I've pretty much given everything. I moved to Fresno a year and a half ago. My kids and my fiance are still in Las Vegas. So I go to sleep 8:30, wake up 5:30. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't even get to see my family most of the time. So it's quite a life, but it's all based around success and being the best. Really, my whole life revolves around it. And I tell people, you know, it's not the best life. You know, like you have to give up a lot. It looks great, like the money coming in and, you know, being the best and everything, but it's just a lot of sacrifice.
I love sacrifice. I tell you, I like to add to that because I've done a lot of work with a guy called Dr. John DeMartini. He's a polymath, which means he's an expert in multiple areas. And his work has been profound in my life. In fact, a few of my clients have done a bit of his work. And he says that in order for us to be the best possible parent we need to be, we need to break the kind of conditioning and the shackles of what has happened before. So by being the best example of yourself, you're setting up what a role model should be for your children as well. So I firmly believe in that. And yes, there's sacrifice, but on the other side of that, you're taking your family and your legacy and your dynasty to another level, brother. So I celebrate you for that. I get very passionate. So I'm surprised. I
appreciate that. Thank you.
Well done, brother. Well done. It's like it's for your family success you'll obviously leave that legacy, as I said. So mate, changing gears, I want to talk about your mentor, Corey Rudder Bush. Have I pronounced that correctly? His son?
Yeah, I think he was like one of the first persons that believed in me. He was actually our install manager and our service manager, I guess. So, he wasn't like a sales guy or anything like that. He was just someone that believed in me more than everybody. So, it's really nice. I've had a lot of good people along the way. Even back at Sierra, I had like this manager named Armando Duque. Like, I haven't seen him in forever. Sometimes I try to find him online, you know, to see where he's at. But, you know, he believed in me. But Corey was definitely the first person that really thought that I was special, I think.
It's so interesting when people believe in you. You step up to the plate. You become. In fact, we were lucky enough to have Service Titan Conference in Australia last week. And shout out to Keith Mercurio, who's coming on the podcast in the next few weeks. He said, if you look at people at what you see their potential to be, they become that. So I think that's the point in case what you've just said there, that Corey looked at you at your potential, and then you stepped into that person. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, when people give you opportunities and they see stuff that you don't see, it's definitely motivating for sure.
Love it. All right, mate. So tell me, sales without pressure. Tell me more about how you go through a bit of your process. Like, you want to become, like, obviously you've got listeners here that are really trying to increase their sales. I personally think there's going to be some pressure. There has to be the natural pressure of a sale, but some people are feeling maybe they don't want to be salesy. That's a different type of pressure. Tell me about this concept of pressure and how you use it or how you don't use it in a sale.
I built a whole process that actually we use for all of our companies. I don't want to get so much into that because it takes like an hour or so.
Sure.
So I'll just give you an example of the last call I was at. I would say it's hard for people to imagine because there's all these cliches with sales. This was, not to toot my own horn, but this was like a masterclass of sales. This is my opinion on it, right? So like I go to the call and we start talking about units and they're cracking up at the prices. They're just laughing at me. Like, okay, all right, well, you know, but I just keep my composure and, you know, eventually I'll get to the point where I'm like, yeah, I know this. They're expensive because they are expensive, right? I mean, there's no point to lie about it. So like I just always keep my composure and I'm very serious with them. And then towards the end, they're just like, yeah, I think we got enough information. And can you just go ahead and email that and write it down for us? And, you know, so naturally I'm going to say, yeah, of course, right? I'm never going to argue with the homeowner.
Sure.
I'm always just going to agree with whatever they say. So, you know, that kind of puts people at an awkward position, right? So they say no, they're kind of laughing at me. The sales guys, sometimes they'll get mad or they'll say, okay, well, have a good day and they'll leave. Whereas I actually just sit down and I don't move. So I feel like I didn't do a good enough job explaining it, why things cost so much. So I actually sit there like almost every single time and I wait for them to start talking to me again. So I'm sitting there when they told me to email and all that, and I'm just like, okay. And if I start giving them a rebuttal or anything, it's going to sound like I'm arguing with them. So I just kind of sit there, and then 99 out of 100 times, they're going to start asking more questions.
Love it.
Sometimes they're going to stand up and they're going to, you know, say it's time to go, and, you know, then I'll go, right? I mean, and so, but yeah, so in this case, they just started asking more questions about like, hey, you know, they said they were going to remove this pipe and there's this broken pipe in my attic and this and that. This was on a tune-up, but he started bringing up some pain factors that he maybe wasn't bringing up earlier. So I'm like, okay, well, why don't we take a look at it? You know, so we go look at it. I'm like, yeah, that's normal. But, you know, once we finish everything, you can get it painted. And then we just start, then I just go back to building value again. And then the true reasons come out. Okay, so how do you guys compare to other companies? And, you know, how are your prices? Like, just tell me straight up how it is. Then you tell them the truth. Like, well, yeah, there's way cheaper companies. Obviously, there's going to be some, you're going to lose something some type of quality, they go cheaper. So then we just kind of sit there a little bit and I can tell they're like, okay, this is making more sense to them. They're trusting what I'm saying. Everything I'm saying is accurate because I'm just a professional that knows what I'm doing. And then they're still kind of on the fence, right? They don't want to say yes. Naturally, people want to say no, or I need to think about it. And they should, right?
Yeah.
So I just said, oh, can you guys excuse me for a couple of minutes? I need to make a phone call. I literally just said that out of nowhere. And that gave me, because they wanted to say yes. I could see it. There's all the buying questions, everything was being answered perfectly. So I just stepped outside and I was just to let them talk alone.
Yeah, love it.
So I just came back in 2 minutes and I just sat there and just waited for them to talk to me again. And they started asking questions, but like, well, when can you install it? And this and that. And then they eventually just said, okay, let's go ahead and keep in mind, they were laughing their minds out, right?
They're not taking it seriously at the beginning. They go, nah, we're not buying from him today. No chance.
Yeah, it's too expensive. These prices are a joke. Who can afford that? Well, you know, long story short, they bought the most expensive unit too.
Awesome. So from the moment that you pulled up to the moment you closed the sale, how much time did that take?
So this one was a flip from one of my guys. So he did a tune-up earlier. So that one was about, I want to say, a little less than 40 minutes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. You just said a word that most Australians won't understand, a flip. You want to expand upon what a flip is? You've obviously got your sales techs out there and they're passing the jobs through to you to get the close. Is that very loosely what it is?
That's exactly what it is. We build up. So when I first came to Lee's, like, you know, no one knew who I was. I came from Las Vegas. Tom asked me to come out here. And what I did is I just ran all my calls myself. So I wanted to, you know, I like to show people, instead of telling people what to do, I just show them that I can do it and I can do it better than everybody. So I just ran my own calls and I was selling a ton of air conditioners. Like I sold every call I went to my first day here. I sold only one I didn't sell the second day. Went back to Vegas and I was just selling a lot. So then I got the trust of everybody and not of everybody, of just a couple of people. And then I just worked with them and showed them, you know, the process of how I do things, which is a lot of thinking for the homeowner. I give them a lot of time to think during the process. And then I just showed them, basically I have them get me out there to talk about new units. So they go over a couple options with them. They give them an overview of the system. And then they send the supervisor out there. We have to look at the unit and make sure that they're saying all the right things, that everything's true. And then we get into the replacement options.
That's fantastic. By any chance, were you working with Brent Buckley out at Vegas?
I worked with Brent for probably about 14 years of my career.
Yeah, he's a gentleman. He was very generous. And about 2 years ago, I spent quite a bit of time with him out at Fetchatech there in Vegas. And g'day to Brent. You're a legend too. Cool. So 40 minutes, fantastic. And how long would your technician been with the customer before they flipped it over to you?
An hour.
Yeah, okay, beautiful. So we're hour and 40 minutes. It's one of the things that we coach upon a lot is slow down. You can't go from zero to a big ticket. How much, if you don't mind sharing, how much was that job value?
So that one was 30,000.
That's roughly your average ticket sale, isn't it?
So my first one today was 48,000. Then I had a 30,000. Then I had 24. So right now for this month, my average is like 33,000, I think.
Unbelievable. Congratulations, man. That is amazing. And obviously HVAC, are we talking fully ducted systems, or combinations of splits? Or what makes up those 33,000 kind of jobs?
Yeah, for sure. So if you're just selling units only, you're probably going to be somewhere around like 23 or 24,000. So like the 48,000 was the best unit, all new ductwork, indoor air quality and attic insulation. So it's everything.
Yeah, you're basically going, you're doing a full, obviously a premium option, full. It's not just the unit, it's all the ancillary items as well.
Yep.
I like
it. And one of them was just, and the two of them are just units, but the 30,000 was, you know, is a more expensive unit.
Another thing that I discovered on I've had a few trips to the States now, financing is huge for you guys. Like we would be lucky to have 5 to 10%. Most companies don't even have it of our sales. What would your percentage of sales be financed for you personally?
Probably at least 80%.
And I guess that is an amazing opportunity for Australians to really understand how to get the most out of financing, because it just makes it so much easier for the customer to say yes. If it's not the lump sum up front.
Well, and it's impossible for some people to spend 30,000, right? Like,
yeah.
They literally don't have the money.
Yeah. That's amazing. Cool. Awesome. Thank you. So belief before results, you believe in your ability before someone has the numbers to prove it. Tell us, what have you done in your like strategies or conditioning in a sense to get belief? Where did a belief, I know obviously it would build over time. You mentioned obviously Corey believed in you, but what did you personally have to do in order to believe in yourself?
Well, Evan and I still have doubts sometimes. You know, we get in our own patterns. So I'm far from perfect on that goes, but.
I'm going to interrupt you, man. Just for the listeners, someone that's turning over $19 million in sales still doubts themselves from time to time. Guys, give yourself a break. Thank you, Phil, for being real, brother. Keep going, man. Keep going.
I think it was really like, I was always pretty good at it. I'd say I was pretty much better than almost everybody. But, you know, there were still some people that were better than me. You need opportunity, right? But you need opportunity to be the best. Let's not even kid ourselves. You need to be put in a place to be the best. And sometimes you're not put in that place. It was kind of discouraging. So I think when I started accepting that I was, at a place I worked for, that I was never going to get all the opportunities that maybe someone else was. And then I think at some point I just didn't care anymore. And I said, well, you know what? I'm good enough to get something on every call. And to me, like, even though I couldn't outsell them because I wasn't getting all the opportunities, I truly felt at that point when I started to test myself that I was the best. So, because I could go to 5-year-olds or 3-year-olds and I would always find a way to get something. So I think at that point, I didn't even care if I had the numbers to prove I was number one. I just felt like I was number one. This took like probably 12 years or so. And it wasn't until about 4 years ago that I really thought like, okay, I think I can be like legitimately better than everybody. So,
yeah. Awesome, man. It's the first sale that's made is do I sell myself for myself?
Right.
Yeah. If I'm not believing in me, who the hell else is going to believe in me?
That's the biggest sale, right? But the most biggest crunch on too.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all have thoughts. I mean, obviously we have thoughts, but we also have negative thoughts. And I think someone that says, oh, you got to be positive all the time. I don't think that's realistic. I think what you need to do is understand that sometimes I'm going to be negative. Stay there for a minute or an hour or maybe not even a day and a couple of hours, but then find strategies that work for you to pull yourself out of that crap as well. Instead of staying there for days and weeks, some people stay there their whole life because it's obviously a victim mentality when they kind of do that. So when you are in those negative thoughts, what kind of like you were, I know we talked about the gym in the past, not drinking. Let's say you're going in. I mean, do you ever even have slumps anymore?
I'm sure. Yeah.
How do you get rid of them?
Like a day or two, maybe. Two would be like the most probably, but yeah, there's like sometimes I don't sell.
And what to get out of them?
All right. So, well, you know, once again, I've been trying this for a long time. And if you look at my numbers, like they almost always end up at the same. So like if I see like right now, my closing rate is like 90% for the month and my average ticket is 33,000. Like, I know that's not realistic to maintain this all month. I know I'm going to run into some luck, bad luck, good luck. And, my numbers are going to average out and that goes both ways. So let's say I go, say my closing rate is 25%. And my average ticket is 23. I just say, well, I haven't changed as a person and I'm doing the same thing. So I just have to trust what I'm doing. So then I just go in and just do it again.
I love it. Look, something I'd love to share too for the listeners. I'm sure you don't need it, but we'll share it for the listeners. What we've found working really well for our sales techs when they're selling well, and sometimes ego can be really negative for them. We go, how do you self-calibrate and bring yourself down to an equal playing field, like equilibrium? Because you start to think, oh my God, everything I touch is fantastic. How do I bring myself back to center? Also too, when you're really low, how do I also bring myself back to center by saying, yes, I spent the right amount of time. I offered the right amount of options. I really paused. I didn't talk too much. It was a 70-30 kind of mix. And regardless if I'm doing well or doing bad, how do I get back to center? How do I get back to center? So then I'm focused and I'm not elated or depressed either way. So yeah, it's something that we find working really well with our clients as well.
Yeah, I said they're on fire. Let them believe that they're on fire and just run it out until it burns out.
The universe will self-correct if you become too
small.
It'll chop you up the knees.
I say this too. I tell my guys that like luck is a real thing. For you to make a sale, a lot of things have to go right. Like a lot of things, right? Because there's bad circumstances everywhere. Like there could be one-leggers, or your mom could have just died, something like that. You know? So I always just tell them that like luck is a real thing and there's a science behind it. So I would say the more effort you put in to life, and then the more you go out there and try, the luckier you're going to get. So if you go out and try every fucking call, excuse me, and you put in...
We're telling, we swear, it's cool.
And you put in the effort every call. So it's just when opportunity and effort meet each other is when you're going to get lucky. So...
You got to show, if you don't show up and have a, what we say in Australia is there's a phrase, have a fucking crack. That means have a go.
Yeah, you're going to miss every shot you don't take.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, awesome. All right. Tell me, simplifying the complex after 20 years in the trades, how do you stop yourself from over-talking, keeping your message simple, and really like that balance of what we were talking about a moment ago between questions and silence and so on?
Yeah, so I think you'll notice too when you're talking, like, to us, we say the same thing over and over. So it makes perfect sense to us. And it just doesn't make sense to the homeowner, right? So you have to explain a couple of things, 2-3 sentences, and you just have to be quiet. And you need a way for them to respond. So that's a big thing I do. So I don't over talk, and I simplify things for homeowners. So I really don't like saying more than 2-3 sentences at a time. If I'm saying that more, if I'm saying 4 or 5 and I'm talking about an inverter unit, they're long gone, you know. So yeah, I think it's just the patience of everything and, you know, just letting them think. That's the biggest thing.
I know it's such a simple, but I think often the most powerful things are simple. Does that make sense? Just confirming they've acknowledged and you're not looking for just a yes. You're looking for like body congruency. Are they glazed over? Are they checked out? Like, have I lost this person? Because as soon as we confuse them, we lose them and then there's no sale. So, and just always checking back in for an agreement or a consensus that they understand where we're up to, maybe even asking them somehow to repeat it back. Do you have any strategies on how you confirm that they've actually understood what you've said?
I'm not big on like those, I think they call them like kind of those trap questions. I'm not big on that stuff. Like I just kind of avoid it altogether. So yeah, I'll ask them once I explain things. I'm like, hey, do you guys have any questions about these units? And they're probably going to say no, probably. If I'm lucky, they'll say yes. So then I just go back and I explain it again.
Right.
Okay. So by the way, I'm going to start going over the pricing now that we've established that we know what equipment is which, and then I'll start explaining it again.
Sure, sure. So keep going.
Well, that's it. Yep.
Yeah. Tell me about, I've never heard the expression trap questions before. Tell me more about that. That's new.
Like stupid stuff like, if everything makes sense to you today, would you be willing to sign this agreement? You know, stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. That's just...
It's a bit old school. Yeah.
It's sleazy as can be, too. Like, I just avoid it, so...
Yeah. Just be human. Be natural and normal.
Yeah. Love that. So, I think that sometimes if someone could see, like for instance, today, if someone saw how that sell went down... I would almost guarantee if we filmed that, everybody would think it was fake because like they'd be just surprised what it actually takes to sell. And it's like nothing that we learn and on these YouTube channels and all these sales gurus and stuff like that. Now, granted, that may work and I'm sure it works to a level, but you know, when you get to a different level, I just think that there's better ways to do things. So.
There's no questioning in 20 million, you're at another level. Tell me, I don't know about the States, but Australia, the markets are crashing the last few. I mean, not that the stock market really affects the housing so much, but there could be a trickle down effect. Are you in a recession per se in the States right now?
The market's definitely crashing, but like, that's for sure. I mean, we're all waking up with significant less money. The last week was brutal. I think I woke up and I was down 100,000 in a day. So when you see stuff like that, you know, it makes people a little cautious. So for me, that's just more ammo to sell. So I've actually been using that, everything that's going on, to sell more right now. So when we're building urgency and building value, I just use real current events that no one can argue with. And it just so happens it's 100% true. So everybody can relate to it.
And like, you can't beat the truth. You don't have to look over your shoulder. You're not, people have such a misconstrued idea. It's gift of the gab and fast talking and sleight of mouth. And it's just such an old, outdated way of communicating and selling. It's so done. I'm glad you're leading the way, being a human and connecting. So obviously we just talked about recession, right? Demand doesn't matter to you, right? So tell me, you said you use the current events to sell. Can you elaborate more on how you're using current events to sell more?
Yeah. So So every week and every month brings new challenges, right? Like this week, it's a little warmer. It may get to the mid 80s and it's going to the 60s again. So things change constantly. So, you know, the mindset changes a little bit. Right now, people are like, oh, the heat's coming. So you're going to kind of use that towards your advantage. So like I went to Peru a few weeks ago, vacation to live at Machu Picchu. And so I came back and we had like a rough week. You know, that it was raining a lot when I was gone. We weren't really selling much and like came back. It wasn't good weather. So, well, what's going on? You know, we know the price increase is coming. It happens every year. We know the tariffs are coming. We know this is going to make everything more expensive. And we also know that we're possibly going to have a shortage on refrigerant. So all these things make equipment go up.
Love it. Yeah.
Right.
So create the urgency for you.
Let them know, like, hey, by the way, this is going up and we're a proactive company. So we bought a lot of equipment before April. So I can still offer you better prices now, but of course we don't have an infinite supply of it. So it's just not something you really want to wait on.
That is awesome, man. Hey, tell me, legacy driver, you mentioned you wanting kids to be proud of you. How much does your daily drive, and we kind of touched on this a little bit before, how much is your drive about legacy versus your numbers?
Yeah, I think that's much more, right? Like I would like to, like, I think that I've proven that I'm the best at what I do. And I think the most important thing to me right now is to make people better than me. So that's really like, you know, when I want to be remembered, like that I call us the Lee's Mafia, my crew. Like I always tell them, like, I can't wait for the day that you guys are better than me. Like, who's going to be better than me? Speak up. And some are like, no, we can't. And some are like, oh, I'm going to be better than you. But my goal is to make the best team and all the real like superstars of HVAC come from my little community there. So that means the most to me to be remembered that way. And someone that actually cared about my guys, because I met really good people. I won't mention names, but they're like, I just feel like they're almost rotten to the core, you know, like they'll do anything to bring you down when you get good. Like, so I want to be the exact opposite of that. And obviously I really, my kids, I know for sure are proud of me, but yeah, I think it's nice to break the cycle of life. You know, like a lot of times you just grow up in poor families or normal families that like, you know, I'm a normal person. I grew up poor, or you're a normal person, but you can actually do extraordinary things. So that's a huge thing for me.
Man, I love that. It is so important. Like this is why I think too, sales, yeah, sales can be an outcome of getting your personal shit together as well. And when people are coming from abundance, it's amazing how much money is actually out there. But when you're coming from scarcity, even though you might make good sales, you could possibly impact your health. You can impact your relationships because when you're coming from scarcity, there's a finite belief of things aren't going to make it. They're not going to last, etc. So I love that idea that you want your team to be better than you. That is as awesome, brother. It's so cool.
Yeah.
All right, final word for real advice for Aussie tradies. If you were coaching an Australian tradie, let's say they're doing about $500,000 in sales a year, which is probably what, 48 grand, I think from memory, I can't quite remember. 40 grand a year, sorry, a month, stuck where they're at. What's the first mindset shift or tactic you would push them to change?
This is easy for me. So the first thing I always want to do is show people that it's possible.
Because once you say, again, as what is possible,
I want to show people that it's possible by doing it in front of them. Yeah, because once you see it, like I have guys here that said, man, I never thought this was possible before you came here. Like, this is insane. Like, everybody thought it was like, you couldn't do stuff like this, you know? And we don't get really any complaints either. So just seeing that makes people believe. Like, there's a guy I have here now, like I'm really, really big on him. He's just starting to come up and he did like $90,000 today. He had a fantastic spot. He lives Rafael Reyes. Yeah, just watching him grow and just saying like, man, I didn't think this was possible. And I do meetings twice a week. And like, I really liked him right away. I liked his demeanor, the way he held himself. And I would tell him like, hey, why don't you come in? And I would make him just stare at me for 5 minutes and not say anything, you know, like, hey, this is part of selling. Sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I've done like little things with him and watched him grow. And now he's just doing so amazing. It's so nice to see him. I'm really happy to see him and watch him change his life in front of my eyes.
Beautiful, man. And I love it. We get people in front of our seminars. We get people staring at each other for as long as possible. It's fantastic. We never chatted about that offline. That is fantastic. So, couple of things. Option sheets. How do you present your options? Like, do you have a minimum amount, a maximum amount? Do you do them on paper? Do you do them on iPad? How do you go about all that?
Yeah, I always do everything on paper.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so there's a few reasons why I do things on paper. Because if they say no after I show them, I have an excuse to stay there because I have to write things on my iPad. Another thing I like to say to my other guys when I'm going over, even with my techs, you know, when we're going over the process, I'm like, hey, you know, like I have people that are like 32 or 33. I'm like, hey, did you have like an iPad in high school? Like, no. And they think they're young, right? They're 30, they think they're young. I'm like, oh, see, they didn't have an iPad in high school. Okay, so what do you think these 50-year-olds had it? Like, What do they want to see, right? So I make things nice and simple. Plus, it's a lot easier to show numbers than it is to say them out loud.
Love it.
So absolutely. If I say, you know, this is what I was talking about, and I show it, or I say, yeah, this one's 53,000. They're going to be like, well, I'm 53. So yeah, I try to, I pretty much avoid saying things out loud. So
tell me, and again, I know it's a loaded question, but is there any time in your sales career, while you're being successful, that you don't offer options?
No, I always offer options.
I know. It's a loaded question. Sorry, man. I'm trying to really hammer this point for my Australian viewers. There are still an absolute, excuse my language, shitload of Australian businesses that are not doing options and are not getting the power of it. So thank you for confirming that. And do you have any specific number? Do you like 3, 5, 10, 6? What's your?
Yeah, it's always 3. And to the back to the option thing, I have people that say, I just want the cheapest unit. Just give me the cheapest unit. So what happens when I give them the cheapest unit? It's still expensive. So there's no way I can build value with
it. No contrast.
Yeah, there's none. So I'm like, hey, I'm just going to go over it with you anyways. So I won't even do that. Like, I just won't do it.
So you're making me so happy, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, they needed to compare it to something. And at that point, I may say the number out loud. Well, the best unit's like 35,000 anyway. So I guess we could skip that, you know, 35,000. I'm not paying that. Like, that's the only way I'll say stuff out loud to try to, you know, make them feel more comfortable with their basic unit. But we almost never sell basic units. Not me, my whole crew. Like, we don't really sell those.
Yeah. So. Cool. Any final comments or questions or something, anything you'd like to? Oh, first of all, we'd love to know, is there any chance of you coming out to Australia?
I have no plans to, but of course, everybody wants to go to Australia.
All right. We're going to make it happen, brother. We're going to make it. I don't know how, but we're going to make it happen. I'd like to. I'll host you when you're out here. All right.
I'll be definitely happy to go.
Awesome. Now, tell me, any closing comments to, again, back to showing the guys that are, say, doing 500,000 a year, 40 grand a month-ish, what would you say to listeners right now in a closing comment of how to improve their sales?
So, well, there is a process you should stick to. You should always get 3 options, but I would just say that it's, you know, $500,000 isn't, I don't want to be rude, but, you know, that's, you're nothing special, right? So do you want to
100%.
It is a beginner. Actually, I gave awards to all my guys last year, and I didn't even start giving awards till they hit 4 million. So the $2.5 million guys didn't get recognized. The $3.2 million guys didn't get recognized. So the bar is set really high. So I would just say, you know, believe that it's possible and, you know, just give it a shot. Like, what do you have to lose? Like, I would never, don't be afraid that they're going to say no. Yeah, and don't be afraid to stay there after they say no, because everybody's in this. I would say 90% of clients are going to say no at least once. Yeah. And they should.
You should be going through at least 3 soft no's. I mean, I don't know what, do you have a number on soft no's?
It's usually just 1, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're able to get it from there. That's fantastic. Yeah. Cool. I can't thank you enough. Look, never has the definition of time is money been more real for you. So taking this time out, it's possibly cost you about 27,000, which average ticket 30. So we're so deeply grateful to have you on here, brother. Thank you so much. You're an inspiration. You're making me get all teary eyed as always. But yeah, keep on going, man. I can't wait to see when you're doing 30 million in a year. And we're very grateful for you taking the time out to be here on Transformation Unlocked. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope my guys hit 30 million long before I do. So we will be talking about them. So
love it. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks, Bill.